Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 84 of Season 10 of Movie Right Minute, the daily podcast, where we hijack our way through the 1974 action thriller, The Taking of Pelham 123, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Andy Golden of Blueprint Review. Welcome back to the show, Andy.
Hi, Rob. Good to be back again.
Yeah, just be careful because we haven't got time. So, minute 84 begins with Blue nixing Gray's idea and ends with a passenger trying to get into the cab. So, we ended things yesterday with Mr. Brown suspecting that something might have fallen off the train or jumped off the train. And, you know, he's raised some suspicions among the rest of the men. And Gray is really gung-ho to go check it out. And we're not really sure what Blue wants to do. And at the beginning of this minute, Blue goes, "No, we haven't got time." So it's very interesting that you'd think that Blue would be Robert Shaw, would be much more efficient in making sure that there's no danger. So, to me, that basically says that he doesn't really believe Brown. Even though we established yesterday that he trusts Brown.
Yeah, there's a few impressions I got. Part of it was that his dedication and worry about sticking to a schedule means he doesn't want to deal with this potential obstacle that's come up. He wants to stick to the plan as laid down. But I also got the impression that because he does trust Brown, I think he, because Gray then is the one who wants to go back and check, he doesn't trust Gray, and he knows that Gray has a lot of potential to cause trouble and screw things up. So I'm thinking maybe, because Gray is the one who wants to go back, he wants to stop what problems that could potentially cause.
Interesting. I didn't think about it from that perspective. Wow, you're right. Yeah, I never thought about that.
No, that just I had written down about his dedication to the schedule, but that just occurred to me now. Now it's because of what you said about him trusting Brown. Put in my head that, yeah, he doesn't trust Gray, does he?
Right. I mean, that we know for sure. We know that he doesn't trust Gray. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
But you see, I look at it from the perspective that you know, if you're a professional and you want to make sure that everything goes smoothly, if you suspect something, you should go and check it out. So,
yeah.
You know, as you just mentioned, he has to have an ulterior motive not to go check it out. And apparently it's because, hey, if Gray likes to do this, so maybe it's not a good idea.
Yeah.
It's going to throw us too far off of our schedule.
Yeah. So what do you think, if they had checked it out, what do you think would have happened? Do you think Gray would have just opened fire? Or?
I think when Gray would have gotten close enough and he saw a body on the ground, he would have just opened fire.
Yeah.
Which could have theoretically screwed everything up.
Yeah.
Because if they can hear the train, you know, if at any, at either end, you know, on a platform, the cops are going to hear shooting, they're going to then for sure storm in.
Yeah.
The question also is, you know, how injured did the hippie get when he jumped off the train?
Yeah.
Is he like unconscious for a few seconds and then wakes up and starts doing what he needs to do, or is he just, you know, trying to work through the pain?
Yeah, because I suppose he could, if he was conscious and able to, I suppose he could have shot Gray first if he'd
if Gray got closer.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's going to take until next week before he actually starts to take some sort of action.
Yeah.
So he is biding his time. I guess it could be either way.
Yeah.
Interesting. At this point, Blue then gives another order and he goes, "Get back up there, come on." And again, as we alluded to, this is a power play between Blue and Gray. I wonder if those colors were chosen because of the idea of the Civil War.
Oh,
You know,
maybe. I hadn't thought about it like that.
that these are two colors that will be at odds with one another.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I mean, it just came to mind right now when I was thinking about the
Yeah.
colors, blue and gray. Was thinking blue and gray, blue and gray. Hey, wait a second. The Civil War. So yeah. And then we get a shot. We're back in the command center. Sorry, we're back in the then the shot changes and we're back in Grand Central Tower. And we see Mrs. Jenkins, who I couldn't tell if she found her ring or not. You know, obviously it's inconsequential, but you know, we've been anticipating for months when she gonna, you know, find her ring that fell down the toilet. So yeah, I don't know. And she happens to notice that the train is moving, and she says, "Grand Central Tower to Command Center." And she goes, "Pilot 123 is in motion." And the music here is just great. The David Shire notes in between various segments that are different is just done so well.
Yeah, it is. It is brilliant. I wonder if I think it was it Jay Clewett, I think, was he was saying that he doesn't generally notice music in films. I wonder if he does in scenes like this. Or I wonder if he's because it's very noticeable. It's very
Right. I believe that Jay said he likes the movie in this, the music in this movie. I
Yeah.
don't. I'm trying to remember. It's been a long time since those episodes. I really don't
Yeah,
remember
he was way
specifically.
back at the beginning, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, first week. Jay is always my first guest.
Yeah.
He has that honorable distinction that in every season he gets the first episode. Of quote unquote action in the movie. So yeah, and at this point, you know, we see that the train is coming towards 14th Street, and all the cops that are there run for cover, which is just hilarious the way that they're, you know, it's the idea of someone standing behind like a pole. Oh, you can't be seen. So it's just funny watching it, you know. So I mean, on the one hand, it's you know, it's added for a little comic relief here. But on the other hand, you see that how disciplined these soldiers are, that they
Yeah.
are able to find ways to try and conceal themselves from this oncoming train. So you know, you can it could be either.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting in a film like this because it's such a tonally interesting film. I can remember being very taken with the humorous side of it when I first saw it, but and it's sort of always that it's blended so well. It's not like you have it's deadly serious and then you suddenly get a joke. It's just the tones are so well blended that it's hard to tell sometimes if a scene is meant to be funny or not.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, again, this isn't the Naked Gun where everything is supposed to be
No.
funny. You know, it's
No.
but they do a great job here of lowering the you know lowering the tense situations by throwing in jokes here and there.
Yeah.
You know, which again, it works.
Yeah.
That's the goal, and I believe they reached that goal without a problem.
Absolutely.
You know, so I'm not concerned about it. And you know, the train just flies by, not being able to see him. And there's like one of the cops is motioning to everyone else to like hide, even though he's hiding on the side of a pole. which you'd think that he's sticking out somewhere.
Yeah.
Now, did you notice the guy in the back when they're running?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so there's a regular cop that's there, not like a SWAT guy. The SWAT guy starts motioning with his hand, and it looks like the guy is like about to fall. He's like taken aback a little bit. It's if you look at it at second 23 of this minute, you can see specifically what it is that's happening there. The guy jumping backwards. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And doesn't that look like very strange?
Yeah, it does, yeah.
I guess it's either a poor actor or a cop who was an extra and
Yeah,
didn't know how to
yeah.
find his the line on the ground where he's supposed to stand. Could be either of those.
Yeah.
And the train just like flies by. I guess it's a good thing nobody's looking because they would have seen that there isn't a driver in the
Yeah.
cab. It's too bad you went and So then we're back on the train itself, and the passengers continue to have a little bit of a debate about this whole thing. So the mother screams out, "Where do you think they're taking us now?" And the yuppie goes, "Don't worry, don't worry. They're gonna let us all go." Then one of the other women says, "How do you know that?" He goes, "Well, they got the money. They got what they want." So again, it's a nice debate. Like, what is it what is Mr. Blue, Robert Shaw, seeking out here? Is this the thrill? Is it being able to actually get the money? And like, what interest does he have in letting everyone go besides he's using them here just as a diversion?
Yeah, he's I like the way the characters really come through. The yuppie is so sort of smugly confident in his version of events.
He sounds don't know if liberal is the right term, but he sounds like he's somebody who says, "Okay, well, you're making a deal. If you get you're part of the deal, that's it. There's no emotion involved
Yeah.
in that type of thing. It's like an emotionless decision
Yeah.
type of thing." Yeah, no, it's just interesting. And then we have the two ladies speaking in Spanish. I have no idea what they're saying.
Yeah.
And then the prostitute actually stands up and goes, "Hey, wait a minute, wait a minute," trying to calm everyone down from all the noise that they're making. And she says, "Can't anybody count? They all four got off. There's nobody driving the train." Which to me sounds like a line you'd find in an airplane, and then they show pandemonium on the train.
Yeah.
I like that even toward as this movie is moving towards the climax scenes, they do an amazing job of still letting us hear about certain characters,
Yeah.
giving us a little bit more of an understanding. I mean, I think it's very funny that it's actually the prostitute who's the one who notices everything.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she seems to be this one of the smartest people there, I think. She's
Correct. Well, that's why Blue didn't let her go back when she
Yeah.
asked.
Yeah.
She has a very important appointment. Yeah. But I wonder if when people first watch this movie, they notice that all four of them are not on there. Like if you they would hear afterwards the comment from the prostitute, and they'd say, "Well, of course I knew that," or, "Oh my God, I can't believe I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I guess
I
no
was
one's thinking
distracted."
straight, are they? It's they've got guns pointed at them and they're just doing what they're told.
Right.
takes a minute to process it, I suppose.
True. The train keeps barreling along. We see one of the guys get up and start running towards the cab to see if he can do something there. It's interesting because we didn't see them lock the cab from the inside. Like, I don't even know how you would do that.
Yeah.
But he does have the key. So if he has the key, that would make it a little easier, wouldn't
Yeah.
it? Yeah. And as he tries to open the door, the minute, did you have anything else you wanted to add about this particular minute?
No, I don't think so. I think we've covered it. And I don't have a top five today because I believe it is trivia day.
Yes, it is. Yes,
I've
it
been
is.
waiting for my chance to.
Today's segment is 70s movie trivia potpourri.
I've been waiting for my chance to either redeem myself or make matters a lot worse.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
Right, are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. So let's spin the wheel and see what movies come out on this list for Andy. Okay. The 1977 film Annie Hall, how many Oscars was it nominated for, and how many did it win?
Oh, wow. Right. I know it won at least for it won Best Picture, it won Best Actress, it won Best Screenplay, and it won Best Director, I believe. And then it was Woody Allen was nominated for Best Actor as well. That's five. Well, and possibly costume. I'm going to say it was nominated for. I guess it was nominated for eight and won four.
Okay, well, you got it correct that it won four. It won Best Picture, Best Actress, Director, and Best Screenplay.
Yeah. I always remember that because if Woody Allen had won, it would have been another because there's only three that ever won those big five categories, weren't there? That would have if Woody Allen had won for his role, it would have made it. The fourth one. Oh, it would have at the time. It would have been the third one to have won that before Silence of the Lambs did. But
That's right. That's right. And it also would have been, Woody Allen would have won three Oscars that night if that was the case.
yeah, he lost to. I think he lost to Richard Dreyfuss in The Goodbye Girl.
Yes. Who was the youngest winner at the time?
Yeah,
I think he was surpassed
by Adrian Brody, was it?
by Adrian Brody. Yeah.
Yeah.
The first time, not the second time.
Yeah.
Exactly. So yes, it had five nominations total, not eight.
only five. Oh.
Only five. The only one it didn't win was Best Actor for Woody Allen.
Yeah.
So okay, you did well
That's
with that one.
not bad. Not bad.
Not bad at all. Yeah. All right. So let us spin the wheel again and see what your next question is going to be. And around the wheel goes. Okay. Here's an easy one for you.
I don't curse that.
What 1976 film is about an insomniac who ends up becoming violent?
1976 film, an insomniac. Because you said it's easy now, I've gone completely blank.
I mean.
Is it Taxi Driver?
Of course it is.
Yeah, I don't know why that
Again, I threw you off.
me
That was the goal. That was the goal. I
long.
achieved my goal. All
Yeah.
right, excellent. So let's spin the wheel and see what the next one is. Number three. Come on, lucky number three. All right. We are back to questions about Oscars. So, how many Oscars was the Sting nominated for, and did it win?
Finally, right. Right, well, and that won Best Picture. Think it won Screenplay and probably Director. Probably Costume, Sound, maybe. Right, well, I know the ones that I know it won Best Picture. I know Robert Redford was nominated. I know that. I'm pretty sure that Scott Joplin score was nominated. So I'm going to say that it won four and was nominated for seven.
Okay, you're slightly off on that one. just slightly. So it won 7 out of 10.
Oh, blimey. Oh.
Yes. So the awards that it didn't win was Best Actor for Robert Redford,
Yeah.
Best Cinematography, and Best Sound. Those are the three it didn't win. It won Best Original Score
Yeah.
by Marvin Hamlisch.
Yeah.
Best Film Editing, Best Costume Design, Best Art Direction and Set Direction, Best Original Screenplay, Best Director,
Yeah.
and Best Picture.
Yeah, I need those top three. Yeah.
Right.
And it
Okay.
was and it beat I know it beat The Exorcist, didn't it, to
Yes.
picture,
Yes.
which some people find controversial, but I just love The Sting. I think it deserved it. I absolutely love that film.
Okay. I like it a lot. It's can I specifically say that it's the best movie of that year? Probably not.
Can't remember what else was up for the best picture that year,
Okay, so it was The Sting, American Graffiti, Cries and Whispers, The Exorcist, and The Touch of Glass. So I actually really enjoyed 4 out of 5 of those. The only one I didn't like was Cries and Whispers.
Yeah, Cries and Whispers isn't one of the best Bergmans. I wasn't overly keen on A Touch of Class, but I do really like American Graffiti. But I think I still would have chosen The Sting out of that list.
Okay, that's fair. It's fair. All right, so let us spin the wheel again and see what we get. And around we go.
Oh dear. What does that laugh mean?
Which 1975 film became only the second movie to win all 5 major Oscars, Best Picture, Director, Actor, Actress, and Best Screenplay.
That is one fly over the cuckoo's nest.
And that's why I was laughing, because we just
It
mentioned
was a
it.
good laugh. Good.
It once again shows how truly random this is. Anyone can say that I'm cheating, but with something like that, I wouldn't necessarily think so. All right, so let us spin the wheel for the final time this week for you. Well, spin the wheel for the final time for the trivia, because you'll still have named that remake afterwards.
Okay.
And I can't definitively say this is the last time I spin the wheel. So let's spin the wheel and see what comes up. Okay, in the 1979 sci-fi film Time After Time, who is the famous criminal that H.G. Wells is chasing through time?
That is Jack the Ripper.
That's correct. Perfect. Nicely done. You see, you did much better than you thought you would at this
Yeah,
time.
no, I'm happy with that. I'm happy.
I see you've been training over the
Yeah.
last few weeks.
I've had like a Rocky like montage
Rocky montage, trying to read information about movies from the 70s.
it was not a thrilling montage to watch that, but but it
It's a
worked.
montage where they show you at a desk in a library reading, and then they show you at reading by nightlight, and then they show you at a park reading. Yeah, that makes sense. I can believe that. All right, let's play Name That Remake again.
Okay.
So let us go and spin the wheel and see what we get. And around and around and around the wheel goes. Where it will stop, nobody knows. Okay, this is a movie that originally came out in 1932 and was remade at least three different
Oh,
times
I'm way back.
in 1959, 1999, and 2017.
Yeah, wow.
Any clue at this point?
I'm guessing it's A Star Is Born.
Nope. Not even close.
Oh, that's straight away. Oh no, that's 32 is a bit, a little
I
bit
mean, I can understand why you would think that,
earlier.
because it's something that came out four
Yeah,
times.
four remakes is a,
So actually, I
yeah.
wonder if the dates coincide. I don't think they do.
I think it was like it was early
No, the okay.
thirties,
No,
the
the
first
first
one,
one
and
was then there was 37, if I remember correctly. The second
oh
one's
oh
20.
late thirties, I was it, and then there was a
Correct. Yeah.
seventies one,
Then
wasn't
no,
there?
then there was
Oh, but there
no,
wasn't
there
a
was one in the
sixties one.
'50s, 1954. Then there was 76 with
Yeah.
Barbra Streisand, and then I think the
Yeah.
final one was in 2018, not 2017. I guess. So it's close. Close.
Okay, so I think I'm gonna need the
Yeah, of course, of course,
details.
of course.
I think what was made four times.
Okay, a mysterious creature roams around Cairo trying to find the woman who he believes is his long lost lover.
Mysterious creature. What was it? Give me the dates again.
32,
Yeah.
59, 99, and 17.
1917. It's not Godzilla, is
No,
it?
no, no.
Yeah,
There are much more than
no,
four remakes
I
of
can't think of
Godzilla.
it. Yeah, of course, yeah. Well, they're different films, aren't they? Cairo. Oh, is The Mummy?
Yes, it is.
Cairo should have been my clue there, shouldn't
Of course, Cairo
it?
was the clue.
Of course, yeah.
I was trying to help you out there. But Andy doesn't want help. Perfect. All right. So, would you like to once again tell people where they can find Andy Golden?
Yes, you can find all my various writings about films, old and new, over at Blueprint Review.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie on Minute. You can find me on Facebook, find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on my website, movieonminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movieonminute@movierob.net. So, Andy, you feel like coming back again tomorrow and trying to hold off that sneeze?
Yes, I would love to.
All right. So, until tomorrow, hatch you.
Get done tight.